Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to see how we need to focus on things above. Let's pray together as we begin. Lord, thank you so much for the children that you've given to us. Thank you so much for giving us the privilege to train them the way they should go. And when they are grown, and as they are growing, Lord, we know that they will walk with you. Lord, thank you so much for rescuing us. Lord, we sing about your grace. We sing about your glory. We sing about your might. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord, who is, who was rather than is, and is to come. And Lord, we bow down alongside the 24 elders, four living creatures, and all the host of angels and saints. We want to bow down to you alone. It's you, O Lord, who is high and exalted. It's you, Lord, who reigns in glory. May our hearts and minds and everything in us adore and worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to see things above. So Colossians chapter 3, the first 11 verses. If then, or since then, you are raised with Christ, seek things, those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger and wrath and malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. From last week, we are now into the practical Christian living part of Colossians. And we saw last week how we are to let nobody be the standard of our righteousness, and we are to let no one cheat us of the reward that Christ has for us. Today we see how we are practically supposed to look heavenwards, to look at Christ, who is high and enthroned. It says there that since you have been raised with Christ, then you have to focus on him, and he's not down here below. And we know that he's everywhere. But we know that he is enthroned and above. And we know where he is. The Bible says there that sitting at the right hand of God. So if our master is seated in heaven above, why would we be looking down on everything he has bid instead of focusing on him? And he says these things because it's very easy for us to focus on the things that God has made or the things that God has given us. It's very easy for us to forget about God, who is the author of everything and the giver of everything, and we focus on the things that we want from him. And most of the time, those things are not really things that are above. It's normally things that are below, things that are on the earth. It says, set your mind on things above, not on the things on the earth. Our two things, destination and citizenship, is not anywhere close to this earth. Our destination is heaven, and our citizenship is in heaven. And we have to be aware that we are temporarily here, and soon we'll be out. and Christ, who is fully God, and we've seen this from the beginning, who is the creator, who is the one who controls everything, who is the one who came in human form, the one who died, the one who rose again, the one who ascended, the one who forgave us all our sins. It's where our eyes should be. And since we are raised with him, we saw a few weeks ago how we died, we walked into the grave with him, we were buried with him, we attended our own funeral, and in resurrection, we walked out of the grave with him. And we saw him ascend, and all eyes looked up and saw Jesus, ascend and disappear into the heavens. It would be foolish of us to focus on the things below. It would be very short-sighted of us to focus on the things that are down here. We are raised with Christ. We are on our journey. We are on our way home. And tell you what, if you are coming from someplace and going home, that's where your mind is. You're thinking about the food that you're going to find. Hopefully you find some food. You think about the people you left behind. Think about, if you're me, you think about your wife and kids. Just looking forward to, be reunited with them. And someone said that the believer is to seek, and that's to desire, to aspire, to search, to focus on things that are above. To love heavenly things. To study them. To let your hearts be entirely engrossed by them. Is your heart and mind consumed with the things that are above? Or are we consumed with the things that are below? And you know, a lot of preaching in our day focuses on the things that are below. The things that we can have. And for some people, that is where they find their identity. Thinking, okay, if I have this and that and that and that, and the list keeps going on, then yes, I am a blessed Christian. In fact, we easily relate material belonging or material achievements to God's blessing, and that's not entirely the truth. Some of these things are actually a curse, not a blessing. Our head is in heaven. Our master is in heaven. Our king is in heaven. Our Lord is in heaven. Our home is there. Our treasure is there, and we hope to be there forever. Then why wouldn't we focus there? Imagine your everything is there. Your safe is there. Your treasure, the most expensive things in your life, are kept there. Your wealth is there. Why wouldn't our hearts be there? This earth has a tendency of distracting us. And this world is entirely designed by men to have our attention on it. There's no direction you will go and there's nothing attractive. Either the scenery or even manufactured goods. Every direction you go, there's something that is going to catch your eye. In Luke chapter 12, verses 29 to 34. And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little children, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And this was after some men around Jesus were trying to focus on the things that are below. And they had confronted not only them, but others around whose material wealth had become a hindrance. They cannot see Jesus. They cannot see the eternal things because the earthly things block their sight. And Jesus says, one, all the other people are focused on those things. And he says to them, you need to be different. You cannot be going the direction that everybody else who is focused on this earth and not seeing heaven is going. You are better off because I've shown you my kingdom. And I've explained to you that I'm your king. He had explained to them that he was from heaven and that to heaven is returning. And he knows that we need these things, right? Doesn't God know that we need food and housing and all these other material things? He does know. Quite often when we're praying, we even imagine that God has forgotten that we need them. But those things cannot be our focus, he says. Those things should not cause us to be anxious, worried, fearful. And he says to them, sell what you have and give it away. Keep yourselves money purses that do not grow old. A treasure in the heavens that does not fail. Where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. Keep your treasures with the Lord himself. And if you have given God the custody of your treasures, that's exactly where your eye, where your heart, where your mind is going to be. If you keep with me your treasures, you'll be looking out for me every Sunday. It's passed around. I kept him with something so precious. What if I disappear? We can't find him anymore. God wants our treasure to be stored with him, our eyes to be focused on him, our hearts to be entirely consumed with our desire to go to heaven. In John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Would we be able to say that you know what? Our number one desire, and this was just after he had given them quite a bit of food, and now they're focused on food. If somebody just walked in here with food, would you be listening to me anymore? It's going to, distract you, like, food. Pastor, when are you finishing your sermon? We need food. He had served them food. And I think this time he didn't even eat the miracle food that he had made. And he says, my food, my satisfaction is to do the things that God wants me to do. Would that be said of us? Would people look at us and say, you know those guys, I know them. Their satisfaction is to do the will of their master. Would that be said of you or me? Would you say that of yourself, that you find satisfaction doing what God wants? You may go home hungry, you may walk, you may go through so much suffering, but find satisfaction in doing what God requires. John 6, 38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, my own will, but the will of him who sent me. That's our number one purpose. We saw this earlier. We were created in him and for him. And if we try to do anything else outside his will, leaves us empty, completely empty. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Why focus on the things above? Because that's where Christ is, and he says this, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That even makes it a lot more clearer. Focus on the things above. Why? Because that's where Christ is. And secondly, he says, because that's where you're going. And right now, What an amazing picture of what is happening behind the scenes. You don't see yourself being transformed into the image, into the glorified form, just like Jesus is. Do you? Do you wake up and look at yourself in the mirror and you're like, wow, I am being transformed. I mean, look at my nose. It's even changing, right? You don't see yourself that way. But in the spiritual world, Christ is transforming us into the image of his glorified form. And soon we will be completely glorified, not limited to this flesh and not limited to space or time. And God is doing that. So tell me, if your life is hidden with Christ in God, he says, and God himself through Christ is changing you to be one day fully glorified, you'll agree with me that it would be so foolish of us to focus on the things that are temporary. If somebody gave you an option, one, something that's going to last for just 1 year, whatever it is, you really want this thing, but you can only use it for 1 year. And the other says, I have another product. It is going to last forever and ever. Would you go for the one that lasts 1 year? No. And if you do, it says something about you. You're short-sighted. You're not thinking of the things that are long-term. You're only thinking of 1 year ahead of you. We cannot be just thinking about 1 year ahead of us. We have to be thinking so ahead, in fact, to infinity and beyond. Because that's where Christ is taking us. He's not going to leave us here. And we'll see when we study 1st and 2nd Thessalonians and Revelation. At the sound of the trumpet, we who are here will get out and be glorified with him. And in the second coming, that's wrapped. In the second coming, we will come down riding on white horses with him. And we will rule and reign with him forever and ever. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 to 21, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. He is the author of our lives, is the author of life, is the maker of everything. And he says, from the very beginning, he made us in his own image. That image was ruined and destroyed by sin. And Jesus came down and restored us, saved us. That sin factor was removed. And now, Paul says, eagerly awaiting for the Savior. Everything we do, Christians, remember everything you do. We get busy. Remember to eagerly wait for Christ. He could find you right out where you are and call you home and say, you know what? Come, it's time to go. And he says, he will transform our lowly body, this body that is decaying, he will transform and conform it to his glorious one. One of the things that I really look forward to is experiencing that form of glory. I mean, flying around with Jesus Christ. Don't you look forward to that? I mean, you saw the news how this guy runs a marathon in under 2 hours, and he says humans are unlimited, right? Obviously, you know, he has reason to say that because he's set a world record. But tell you what, we are so limited in so many ways. But we have a limitless God. And he transforms us just like that. And we fly around with him. Home. I'm looking forward to take that flight. I mean, and all these superhero movies are designed to cause us to long to be super, right? And to be supernatural. Like you just dress up in a suit and off you are into the sky and we're going to rescue somebody in Australia. How do you like that? We're going to be glorified. And each time we go through the limits of living in this flesh, you're like, I wish I was glorified. I would fly to the village and have breakfast there and come back to town and do everything else. That's my thinking, you know. Would be able to achieve so much in just a second. And that is what Christ is doing, each one of us. We may not feel like it's happening. Our bodies don't look like they're being glorified. Our bodies are falling apart. But the man that was redeemed, the new man that is going to heaven, is more than alive and is being, is growing stronger and stronger. And soon he's going to be supernatural, just like God. If we, and since we were raised with Christ, let's look for things that glorify him. Let's look at things that he alone commands us to do. Let's focus on the things that he wants us to do. Let's have our attention on him for any instruction that we need to take the next move. Like Christ, what else? Do this. What else? Go. What else? Wait. What else? Sit. Waiting for his instructions as a commander from above. And, you know, if you've seen the military, other servicemen in training or in parade, they don't take any step. They don't make any move unless the guy above them says so. They stand there like statues until the commander says, all right, now you can put your guns down and relax. And when Christ, who is our life? Paul said, I think in Galatians, that for me to live is Christ. Like my life is defined by Christ. That's it. And when Christ, our life, appears, we will appear with him in glory. And from verse 5 onwards, it says now, that seems very theoretical, right? Being glorified, you're like, oh, how does that look like? Christ glorified bodies and all these things. Okay, this is what it means practically. Put to death your members which are on the earth. Put to death. The word there is mutilate, cut away or cut off. Or kill any earthly evil desire. It says there fornication. It's the Greek word porneia, from which you get pornography, a summary of all forms of sexual promiscuity. It says the uncleanness. Another word for that is any form of immorality. Anything that stains you with sin. Passion, correct word is lust, trying to gratify or satisfy the flesh with evil, says the evil desire and covetousness. Literally desiring to do evil and covetousness is wanting something that somebody else has. And he says, which is what? Idolatry. Do we ever think that any form of lust is idolatry? Evil desire, covetousness? These are just a few examples of the things on this earth that so many focus on. And the world has been designed to promise satisfaction in this flesh. I mean, look at, have you ever seen a food advert in a magazine? How does it look like? You go for it, right? It looks so good that you're thinking, that's what I want. What do you get on the plate? Ordinary chicken, right? You're like, but you hold the picture and you're like, but this is not the food on the magazine. Like this one looks golden and you want to eat the piece of paper. And it's just chicken. I mean, how many times have we had chicken and we think there's another chicken that is better? But that's just, you look at, a friend looked at a beer advert and like, man, I feel like taking that beer. It's all cold and he can imagine the taste is crisp and it's bitter. You know, it's not refreshing as it's promised. And see the products. Look at all the fruits of everybody who drinks or even lives a lifestyle of drinking. They don't even use those guys for their beer adverts, right? Look, where I live, it is, I think, the most dangerous part of the city to live in. And walk through on Saturday mornings. You know why? Because all the drunks are driving home. In fact, almost every Saturday morning, a drunk has pushed somebody on the way, knocked somebody dead, killed a body, whatever it is. But do you think they use those guys, those drunk drivers, as their beer advert? And it's a trick the enemy uses to attract our attention, all these earthly things, and we go for them, and what happens? Disaster. These are the things that we crave. Now, note with me that on the righteous part, God gave us these desires. Sex is good. We grow up in a culture that just says don't and don't and don't. And even some get married and they're like, no, we're not supposed to. Seriously, it's bad manners. And we have to go through reorientation of, actually, it's good and God created it in marriage. Sexual desire is good, but its misuse outside marriage, it's sin and it's destructive. Food, everything that God made that are good, He made for us. But when we focus on these things, they become idols. And that's what the Bible says. You focus on those things more than the things above, then you have made that thing your God. And you're going to bow down before it. And it's not wise at all. The things that you do, and secondly, the things that we say. And in verse 6, it says, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you were once walking when you lived in them. It says, that is your former life. Before you came to Jesus Christ, you walked in darkness because you didn't know any better, and God graciously showed you the truth, and you came into His kingdom, and you cannot be going back to the darkness that you once lived in. You should be walking away from that darkness. And it says, verse 8, but now you yourselves are to put off all these things. The first category are the things that we do. The second category, things that we actually say or how we respond. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie. Deception or falsehood. Since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Coming to Christ is like removing your dirty, filthy, the Bible calls and refers to them as filthy rags. You've taken them off. And Christ has given you a new garment of righteousness. Would you, on top of your white garment of righteousness, tie around a rag, a filthy rag, on top of your righteousness? Like you have this beautiful dress, an eternal one, and God Himself made it. I know some fashion designers are like, wow, they make some beautiful dresses and suits. But imagine one that God Himself made. Excellent in all ways. And then you get an old, dirty piece of rag and you use it for a belt or a sash or a shawl. And that's the picture it's painting here. And you're already wearing something new. Why do you put the old one on top? Anger. We often don't think, and the word there is literally an outburst of anger. Anybody short-tempered here? Are you looking down? You're like, Pastor, not me. Like, God, not me. an outburst of anger. Sometimes it's not even an outburst, it's an inburst. You get angry and then, like 1 second you're one happy person and the next second, we used to call it samosas, right? You've tied a samosa and nobody's going to buy it. Wrath, violent emotion, fight, physical fighting. Malice. To malice somebody is to speak with intent to injure. I've been a victim of this many times. I've literally been as insulted as that guy looks like he's a weed smoker. Seriously. And in the recent past, people who are very close to me have spoken so much falsehood against me with intent to hurt. And maybe you've been a victim of such. They really want to try as much as possible to hurt you. And you can imagine, Paul is writing to Christians. And we are often in this evil trap of, I am going to hurt this person. Blasphemy, speaking evil of good, of God, rather not of good, of God, accusing God of being evil. These are Christians he's writing to, and don't we often accuse God of being evil? Yes, we do. You're like, God, what are you doing? And he's thinking, me? Filthy language, obscenities. I was once in company of, I think it was a conference I went to somewhere, and this guy was in the military of another country. And I was having this conversation with him and was talking about racism. And he was talking about how just evil it is. And how people love everything colorful, but they just don't like differences in skin color. But the process of him explaining the evil of racism, he had like a doo, you know, in the movie, the doo. And I was like, wow. And he's like, this racism is doo, and you need doo. I was doing the doo in my head. And each time he had an obscene thing to relate racism with, and I'm like, you don't do that, you know. You're talking to a pastor here, right? And I'm just kidding. Deception, falsehood. And we'll learn a lot more about the things we say in James. There's a good number of teaching on you know, the use of our tongue. And at the most, it says this, you can use your tongue to praise the Lord, right? To say, God, you are amazing. To sing beautiful melodies to him. And then you can use the very same tongue to do what? To hurt other people. To bring them down, to tear them apart. And you're the same person. Watch your tongue. If there's anything, and we're going to see the put on, so we just sing the put off, remove, 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 remove. Now let me say this. The things that we do that are mentioned there and the things that we say that are mentioned here, that we struggle with the most are the things that we most indulged in when we're not Christians. So before Christ, if you are just angry, when you become a Christian, you're going to struggle with anger the most. Before Christ, if you struggled with evil speech, obscenities, when you come to Christ, that's going to be the biggest area of struggle. And like Isaiah would say to the Lord, I am a man of unclean lips. And God says, I'll deal with that. And he burnt his lips with a coal. Can you imagine? If you have unclean lips, God says, bring them on, and I have some fire, right? And he burns your lips, and all of a sudden, all the uncleanness is gone. You're like, whew, no more evil speech. So the things that we struggled with the most in our previous life, coming to Christ, are going to be things that are hard to get rid of. This is the good news. That God has given us his righteousness and is able to help us away from them. All of them. Not a single one left. We keep walking with him. We keep following him. And he says that you keep focusing on Jesus. He's going to help you out of all the things that you once indulged in. Every one of them. Completely having no power over you. You have to fight until you win. In Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 4, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died in sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ are put in Christ Jesus, we are baptized into his death, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Christ died with him, and in Christ we walk with him in that newness of life. Again, in Romans 13, verses 13 to 14, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry, going back to drunkenness and lewdness and lust, in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Let us walk not in the ways that we walked in the past, but in the ways that Christ has marked out for us, and that is in his righteousness. So we put off, and we're going to see next week that for everything we have to put off, there's something to put on. We don't put off everything in the previous life, and then we're like, oh, I'm in the cold, what should I put on? God has a new pair of dressing for everything we have put off. Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 25 to 32. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry and sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. You can get angry, but sin not in your anger. And he says, don't let that anger go into the next day. Stay up all night and fight it. And wake up the next day, it's gone. You know, there are people who will remind you of the things that you annoyed them about 2 years ago. And you can imagine that being, how many sunrises are those and sunsets? It says, let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his own hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Let no corrupt word. That's serious. Let nothing sinful, corrupted, rotten come out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary for edification. This is the principle. Don't get anything out of your mouth that is not helpful or not building somebody else. As a Christian, even in criticism, we can be building somebody else, not in malice, gossip, slander, or any evil speech. Speak everything that is helpful and that is building, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Speak something that imparts grace to others. And we're going to see later on, let your speech be seasoned with salt. Let your speech be sweet to the hearer. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. We're going to see the put-ons next week, but how many times that it looks like in every book in the New Testament, he talks about the very same things to all the Christians he wrote letters to. Anger and malice and evil speech in almost all the letters that Paul wrote. And that means this, it is prevalent among us. And if you are a perpetrator, drop. And in Romans chapter 13, verse 12, he says this, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. It says, therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. We can easily give room to the things that we've seen. to any form of lust. Did you hear? I don't think it's a joke. I think it's true. The story of Christians from one country meeting Christians from another country. And in country A, these Christians smoke, and it's okay. And then in country B, beer is normal. I mean, they just grew up with beer. So the story is that these guys met, and the guys were smoking, and the other guys were drinking. And the guys were smoking, were so shocked, the other guys were drinking, they almost threw away their cigarettes. The other guys were drinking like, what, these guys have cigarettes? We're almost going to pour our beer away, you know, in protest. I mean, who is righteous there? I mean, they've lowered their standard of righteousness, so is Christ, and they're thinking, wow, those guys are so bad, and they don't even see their own evil. And if we don't see everything in the light of Christ, we exalt ourselves above somebody else. And somebody said that we easily get judgmental, pointing out everybody's sin, simply because we sin differently. Like somebody else, for them, they struggle with food, right? For us, we struggle with what? Evil speech. And we think, oh, that person, oh, I don't know. May God redeem them from from whatever it is. And we don't even realize that in process, what are we doing? Speaking evil. So to the guys who were smoking and the guys who were having their glasses of beer, Jesus says what? Both of you, you drop them, right? In Romans, it says the night is far spent. And that means this, the return of the Lord is very close. Sunrise is very close. And if Paul was writing that sunrise, the return of Jesus is very close, years ago, how close it is today. Very close. And he says, this is what you need to be doing as the days draw near. Cast off all the works of darkness. All. And if you don't see your own area of struggle, at least the sin that you need to drop, just ask somebody else. And they'll help you. They'll be like, all right, let's do this. And we don't like doing this, by the way, do you? Do you ever walk to them like, could you please tell me my struggles as a Christian? We don't do that, right? Never. But we should. And we confess to one another, the Bible encourages. And with the intention of dropping it, not telling somebody whatever that is really trying to push you down. And then that person goes around, do you know that my friend is really trying to drop off cigarettes, you know, or beer, or whatever it is? But holding that information with confidentiality and you know, speaking things that build. The night is fast spent. Let us put off every work of darkness. Amen? Amen. And next week we'll see the things that we need. We've seen them a little bit, but we'll see them more next week. The things that we have to put on. Practical ways of putting on the righteousness of God that we already have in Christ. May we stand. Lord, thank you so much for bringing us back to life. That in you, Lord, we are alive and we are raised from the dead. And Lord, you are enthroned, exalted, and high above. Lord, our hearts hunger and thirst for you, for heaven. We groan in this flesh, and this earth is disintegrating. But we want to store up everything of value with you, because with you, it will be safe. So Lord, help us to focus on you. Help us to focus on the things that are above. All the things that are below will cause us to stray. And Lord, when we focus on the things that are above, You even give us the things that are on this earth for us to enjoy. When we seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, you grant us these things to enjoy. And when you grant them to us, we know they are from you. And we don't focus on them. We focus on you. We don't want these things to be idols that we bow before. And if there are any who are bowing before the things that are on the earth, Lord, I pray that you open their eyes that they may be able to see you high and exalted in heaven where our home is, where we will be forever and ever. Lord, help us to speak things that build, that strengthen, that encourage, that bring life. Help us speak life in our lust, in our evil, in our anger. We can speak maliciously. We can speak with slander, with intention to destroy. But our tongues are supposed to be used to honor you and to build up one another. So Lord, may you cleanse our lips. May you cleanse our tongues. In Jesus' name we pray.